This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives.
I'm Arani Sen. I'm the rector of St Olave's Church in the City of London on Hart Street.
Which is where we're sitting now. And do we know who St Olave was or is?
Yeah, no, we know St Olave was Norwegian, and in 1050 he came over to fight for King Ethelred, so against the Danes, which is the Battle of London Bridge, which is very close.
Yeah.
And of course, London was much lower than it is now. And on this site, after the battle was won, this church was founded.
Okay.
And although he wasn't a saint then, and then he went to Rouen in France in service of a duke, and there he encountered Jesus Christ. But I think he's quite controversial. Then he did go back to Norway and had the mission to convert Norway to Christianity. But from the things I've read, I know that it wasn't without violence, and there was some forced sort of Viking activity going on. And but he is still very much revered in Norway, and he's buried in Trondheim. And one of the good things here is that we've got really good links with the Church of the Lutheran Church of Norway, which is excellent, and in the war that was quite significant, which we might come on to.
Okay.
Well, St Olave's, as you can see, is quite a small church compared to many of the churches in the city, quite small and intimate. We call it a place of sanctuary, a place where prayer's been going on for 1,000 years, and in fact, there's a medieval crypt from the 13th century, and there's a well there which was from Olave's time. Wow. And so there's a great history, and so the actual stone building was built in 1050 and then it was bombed, but there's been spiritual life here for 1,000 years, and now we see it very much as an oasis in the city. Now Betjeman, the poet laureate, described St Olave's as a village church in the midst of the city, and it has that feel. I mean, there's a beautiful churchyard as well just there, but also it does have a number of plague deaths buried there as well, so there's a lot of history. But very interesting that the church is very famous for Samuel Pepys, who worshipped here for a number of years when he worked on Seething Lane round the corner in the naval office. And he was a senior, really civil servant, administering the Navy. And I was reading his diaries, of course, which I have to do as the rector. And in lockdown, I had this opportunity. They were abridged, but I did read them. And I was fascinated by the plague stories as well.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so interesting how Pepys describes it, because he didn't actually leave London, and he describes the horrors, and he didn't actually come to church during the plague period. He was actually very much afraid. And the rector left London, and Pepys was very scathing of him, of the rector at the time.
Are you drawing a comparison to the plague and COVID?
I am, yeah.
That's a nice comparison.
That's what I was coming to, actually. I was going to say that reading Pepys, he described how there were signs of light as people, the shops were reopening. And I thought, what a lot of parallels with that period as well. And he described how horrific it was in the churchyard, you know, knowing that people were buried in a pit. Yeah. And just the stench of bodies, he described. And even though we've moved on a lot medically, we've seen a huge numbers of deaths. And in fact, as in Pepys' time, a lot of people in poverty, and we know today, a lot of people of colour have been the most, have suffered the most in COVID, and that was also the case. So I've been very much drawn to the parallels with Pepys' diary and the COVID pandemic that we've been going through. And I hope now that there are signs of life, and there's beautiful light coming through the stained glass windows today.
Yeah.
Signs of hope as we see Christ crucified and risen.
Pepys lived very close to
very
here.
Very close, yeah.
Can you tell us specifically if there are any memorials or parts of the church which are connected to him, and tell us a bit about those?
Sure, yeah. So first of all, that's his memorial there.
That's on the, what's that? That's the south side,
south wall.
In between
yeah.
the two big windows.
Yeah, and it's significant there because in Pepys's day, there was a gallery on the south side of the church. And he somehow had a covered walkway from where he lived, so he didn't have to get wet coming to church. And in the churchyard, you can see a plaque where Pepys came in. So he used to come in here and sit on the balcony. And he was rather scathing, because one day his servants were with him, and he wrote in the diary that he wasn't very happy about that and hoped they wouldn't be there next week. So there's obviously a lot of cultural things you learn from Pepys. Lots of snobbery, actually. Mm. And his wife's memorial is there, just in front of the altar, and she's looking towards him, because we know that sitting in the gallery, he used to look at the women, which today would be quite unacceptable. But he was quite a character, and I'm really quite interested in his morals and ethics. But he did come to church, and he did worship, and he would fall asleep in the sermons. As I mentioned, he didn't like Dr. Daniel Mills, the rector, who was probably too Protestant for him. He was quite, I'd call him probably liberal Catholic today. He had quite a liberal and libertarian ethics as well. But certainly... the church is remembered for him, and he's buried, and he and his wife are both buried in a vault under the altar. So lots of people are very interested in Pepys, and I'm interested in Pepys, although, you know, we have to take him and read him in his time.
Yes.
But we do learn a lot about history and local history, you know, the plague and the Great Fire of London, which again this church survived because
yes.
Pepys' servant alerted him, and he was able to keep the fire. The fire was kept at bay, actually. It was a bit further down at Pudding Lane it started.
Yeah,
but a lot of London was, the city of London was destroyed, but this one wasn't.
Yeah.
One of the few that survived.
Yeah. Obviously, Christopher Wren hasn't had a part to play in any of the church. I don't think so.
No, no, there's no Wren in this. It's very medieval.
Yeah.
1450, the structure, and was rebuilt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can see that it's from that time because of the big windows. And that the 1400s, they started making the windows bigger. Are there any other associations with literary figures? Because when I walked in, I noticed that there's a quote by Charles Dickens. Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, now Dickens was quite nearby at the George and Vulture pub.
Yeah.
And that's where the Pickwick Club still yes. meets. And that's still going, the pub, actually.
Yeah.
And Dickens lodged there. And wrote the Pickwick Papers, and he'd walk about the city, very different, of course, in Victorian times. And he did like this church, but he did notice on the church gate into the churchyard the gargoyles, the skulls, and he called it the Church of Ghastly Grim. And that's kind of stuck with the church, but it's really quite a peaceful church, but that ghastly grim. Of course, it's medieval to ward off evil spirits. It's a very medieval theology
yeah.
There, but Dickens was obviously, I think, quite amused by it. But he did like the church,
yeah.
and he liked wandering around the city.
It's a feature, isn't it, that the gateway with the skulls
yeah.
over it. I mean, it catches all passers-by, I think, because it's quite striking. Are there any other interesting people associated with the church you think are worth mentioning? Or
I'll tell you about after the Second World War, actually,
yes,
which
please.
Is also very significant. It was in the Blitz of 1941. This church was very heavily destroyed, as were many other churches.
Mm.
And we're very fortunate it's been rebuilt, and rebuilt with great integrity and beauty, I think. And the memorials were taken away, which is a great thing now. Because they're here.
So they were taken away before the war?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good, because now they've been replaced. But what's significant is in the war, King Håkon VII of Norway escaped Hitler. He wouldn't give in to Hitler's demands when Hitler invaded Norway.
Hmm.
And then he came to London and sometimes would worship here. And he, in fact, after the war, laid the commemoration stone.
Yes.
Which is exactly 70 years. It was the 17th of June 1951, so just over 70 years since that was laid. So that's quite significant, actually.
You mentioned the crypt. Is that open for people to see or not?
Yeah, normally it's open. I mean, in COVID we haven't been opening it because it's very badly ventilated.
Yes, confined space.
It's very fascinating, so medieval.
What can you see down there if you were to go?
There's a small chapel and their well,
yeah,
which dates from the 11th century, actually.
You mentioned the well,
yeah.
So you can actually see that.
Yeah, you can see that.
Oh,
yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah. There's also some relics that that were found in the after the destruction in the war, the Second World War, some relics from the 18th century, bits of pottery and so on, which is interesting as well.
You mentioned earlier the light coming through the east window above the altar, and the window it's quite striking. It looks like it's a more modern window.
Yeah, the windows actually after the war are significant, There are four depictions. There's St. Olave, of course, a depiction of St. George, patron saint, and then two moving depictions of Christ crucified and Christ ascended. And when the light streams in, they're quite stunning colours as well. I haven't mentioned, but St. Olave's has links to two of the livery companies in the city.
Yeah.
The first one is the Clothwork Company, which again dates back to the 15th century.
Yes.
And the Clothworker Hall is very close, and the Clothworkers have been benefactors of this church for many years, and of course invested significantly in the church rebuilding after the war. But we do have these very good links, and this is the Clothworker window. My trust is in God alone. And I'm still their chaplain, and the rectors have been their chaplain over the years. And we're also the environmental cleaners, which is a more modern
livery
company.
So they're another.
Yeah, another, yes. But
do you know anything about the boat?
The Smith's Knoll. Yeah, this is interesting as well. Now,
so the Smith, just so the listeners know, the Smith's Knoll is a sort of boat, a lighthouse boat, and in the church it's contained within a glass case, well, a model of it, sorry, it's contained within a glass case, so that's what we're talking about.
I'm also the chaplain, and the rectors have been the chaplain to Trinity House, which is just on Trinity Square. And Pepys, of course, himself was the master of Trinity House, and also of the Clothworkers, so that's interesting, yeah.
That's harmonious, isn't it?
And they are responsible for the upkeep of the lighthouses, keeping people safe, and that's a good strong Christian image of the light that keeps us safe amidst the storms of life.